Good evening, everyone, and thanks for attending this call on 2020 results. I think that 2020 results tell us that the year has been challenging, but at the end, a very positive year for F.I.L.A., especially if we compare the difficult situation we had starting from mid-March and the final numbers that the group has been able to deliver. I think that there are some key information I would like to share because the numbers sometimes do not tell completely the truth. I think in 2020, this is absolutely real. I think the situation is really better than what the numbers are telling us. The reason is because almost 100% of the delay that we have accumulated versus 2019 in terms of sales and in terms of EBITDA is related to India and Mexico, two countries that are extremely strategic for F.I.L.A., fast-growing, two countries that clearly represent the future of the group, but clearly two countries that have shown strong weaknesses in the economic system, in the health system, that have closed completely the schools and for many months also the distribution channel, that completely stopped our business. Even worse, for a few weeks, the government imposed us to pay salaries without invoicing anyone, not even a single dollar. So what does it mean? It means that the rest of the world has performed almost in a stable way compared to 2019. And this was not obvious in March if you consider how many difficult situations we had to manage during the year with the schools announced to be open and then closed and then children going into digital school and then back to physical. Only the announcement effect has influenced a lot our customer. You can imagine the distribution, the unbelievable level of destocking we have assisted towards the end of 2020. Last but not least, we had to shut down, especially in the last 5 weeks of the year, plants. In this way, we have not absorbed overhead because during the so-called second wave of mid-November, the situation was further complicated. So in this environment, to reach almost the same numbers in terms of turnover and EBITDA, I think a very good job has been done. And I would like to add a very strong base from which we can start in 2021, knowing that our peak season is related to back to school in September. And we feel confident that in September, we are not going to have any issue with the school reopening. Another important information that is not completely included in these numbers, but it is extremely important, is our differentiation in Fine Art. We have diversified starting year 2016. We have invested a lot. I think we have been a little bit criticized because we have speed up sometimes too much the acquisition process, but I I think all of you remember that there are some world champion that we did not want to lose. Frankly speaking, to see Fine Art performing, as you have seen in our report, plus 18% almost organic, I think it's a performance that was, it is hard to believe. The trend continue to be strong. I would like to recall that even before COVID, Fine Art was a business with a positive organic growth worldwide. So I think that through this acquisition process that have occurred, we have reached an undisputed world leadership position, a very strong position in almost every market that put us in a very sustainable competitive situation, not only for the ordinary business, but also for the future aggregation that should come one day. The cash generation, I decided to give to the market a preview in this unstable environment. So you probably recall that with a good surprise, we have reached a net bank debt below 400 million. So you now see that we have reached 396 million, which is definitely a good performance during, let's say, COVID year. And let me add even more positive, because from receivables point of view, we did really a good job. It was extremely difficult to manage inventory due to the instability of the environment. So we ended up with a level of inventory that clearly have reduced the positive performance we have done in net bank debt. Same for cash generation. I remember at the end of March, and this looks a bit miraculous, we gave a threshold of 20 million up to 30 million cash generation. We have ended the year with 30 million, so really the high end of the parameters we have given. Last but not least, the EBITDA we have generated, considering that versus 2019, all the EBITDA that we have lost come from India and Mexico. You probably recall that in September, when India and Mexico announced that school would never reopen before the end of the year, and I decided to give a threshold of 92 million. I think we have gone largely beyond this threshold, again, thanks to Fine Art that in the last quarter of the year has usually a peak season, and we have been positively surprised by the performance of the market. Thus, we have been able to beat the last estimation. So all in all, I think a difficult but a positive year, a year that tells us that the ground, the base on which we have built up Fila after this session of acquisition are very solid. The 2021 is starting in an environment that is similar to 2020, with some good news. We are seeing some slow but gradual reopening of the school, especially in countries that are vaccinating the population in a very efficient way. So I'm referring to United States, and United States represent almost 50% of our business. The president of Mexico just last week announced that within the next 5 weeks, school will reopen. India is trying to reopen schools little by little, despite the infection is still growing, but this is already going on, probably in a very slow way. We have seen France that have never, like Spain, have never closed school. We are still struggling a little bit in Italy, but we are positive that with an aggressive vaccine campaign between April and May, we should be in a comfortable position. And anyway, let me remind you before moving to the Q&A session that we have built up 2021 budget considering COVID impacting our business until May 2021. So the back to school should be completely protected, and we should assist to a very positive back to school. For the moment, I have finished. I think Stefano are going to summarize for all of us the key numbers, and then we can move to Q&A.
Okay, thanks Massimo. So you can go to page 4 of the presentation, just to have a quick overview of the main economic financial result. We close, Fila Group close with 608.2 million of core business sales, so with a decrease of 79.2 million, less 11.5%. Of course, as you know, these numbers are affected by FX. We had a negative amount of 17 million, 1.7 of FX, mainly allocated South America for 6.3, in North America for 6.1 million, and then in Asia and in Europe for the remaining part. So, excluding this effect, the difference compared to the previous year is equal to 62.2 million, 9.1% compared to the previous year. If you remember, in September was 10.7, so we had an improvement in the last month. By geographic area, we don't have surprises. Massimo said before, all the negative difference is can be allocated to India and Mexico. And we can see, at the opposite, a positive performance in Europe and North America, so we had a recovery in these two areas. Just to remember that these two areas were negative in September. So, confirmation of the trend, a little deterioration, because we had a little deterioration in Asia and in Central South America, with an improvement in North America and in Europe. No surprise from the product line analysis. Of course, we had a confirmation, an improvement in the fine art product line segment that was completely offset by the trend of school and office that was similar, a little more negative than in September. If you go to page 5, just to have a quick look to the diagram for the cakes, you can see clearly how the fine art increased from 19 to 20, from 27.3 to 35.7% in 20, and how school of the opposite decreased from 70% to 61%. By geographic area, as we discussed before, of course the weight of North America and Europe increased compared 19, while South America and Asia decreased compared 19. If you go to page 5, we can just have a quick look to the EBITDA adjusted, excluding IFRS 16. EBITDA adjusted 2020 is equal to 95.4 million, so with a negative difference of 15.4 million compared 19, less 14%, is you know the FX on EBITDA is quite immaterial. We had only 0.2 of 0.2 billion of positive FX. And so the difference excluding this effect, the variation compared to the previous year, is a negative of 50.6 million. Adjustments are referred at 14.2 million. The increase that we have and are mainly referred to three categories: harsh acquisition, COVID-19, and a queue of organization costs that we had also in 20, coming mainly from 90, but a little part also from 20, because we have some organization in UK and in Australia. So the difference compared to the value of extraordinary item that we had in September is more or less 4.5 million, and for 3 million is referred to the COVID effect, and 1.6 million is referred to harsh, because we have some queue on the inventory margin effect and the step up effect coming from the purchase price allocation. So these are the main differences compared to September. It's important to, I think, to highlight that we closed with an EBITDA margin 50.7%, that is not far from the 60.1% of the previous year, and that this is due to the good job made by the company, the group, in particular to the cutting cost of the OPEX. We reached more than the target that we had in mind, because we are near 10 million of cutting cost effect compared to the previous year, and also, of course, a big contribution comes from the finance sales that help to maintain the gap very limited compared to the previous year. If we go to page 7, we can have just a quick look to the net income adjusted, that is for 2020 equal to 23.1 million. With a negative difference of 20 million compared to the previous year. Of course, 50.4 million come from the EBITDA. Then we have higher amortization, depreciation, for 1.2 million. Then we have a negative effect coming from the financial result of 4.5 million. It's important to highlight that we had an improvement of the net financial interest of 3.2 million, but we have 7.7 million negative FX effect coming from the valuation of all the loan in different currency drawdown in local countries, in particular in the US. So this negative effect is due to the negative FX effect that we have on financial FX effect that we have in our P&L. The financial net interest result is better of 3.2 million compared to previous year. And this result was reached for two effects. We have a saving on the interest on the main agreement, the medium long term agreement. It is due to the fact that we maintain the benefit of the margin ratchet freeze that is frozen to December 19, and is a saving compared to the previous year of more or less 45 basis points. And the other part of the sale of the interest come from a good management of the cash, the excess cash that we had during this year, that we were able to finance some country with a very high local level of interest that we were able to decrease through intercompany financing with a lower rate. If we go to page 8, we can finish with the net bank and NFP analysis. As Massimo said before, the net bank closed to 396.1 million negative. That is an improvement if we consider also the harsh acquisition cost and include the FX of 57.2 million. If we exclude the FX effect, we land to a free cash flow to equity equal to 30 million. The ratio of the net working capital, we had the deterioration compared to the previous year. We were 33% in 19, now we are near 45. It is mainly due to the inventory, as Massimo explained before, because we were able to contain the receivable to a very efficient level and to control the collection very well. Notwithstanding the original concern that we had in March about the collection. The covenant ratio, you know that we are in a covenant holiday situation, and we didn't break the covenant in June, and we were very, very near to the covenant ratio level set by the agreement, because we landed to 3.92 compared to 3.90. Our original expectation were around 4.1, 4.2 leverage ratio. So this improvement was done through the action of the good control of the working capital, in particular on the collection side, and of the cost cutting related to the OPEX, and also the control of the CAPEX or the investment that we did during the year. And so I think that the analysis is complete. We can go to the Q&A section.
We will now begin the Q&A session. To ask a question, please press star then one. The first question comes from Niccolò Storer with Kepler. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have two questions. The first one is related to raw material price trends. We are hearing about price increases across the board, paper, plastics material, as well as pulp, etc. So, do you expect an impact in 2021, and also related to that, also transportation costs are ballooning, and so also in this sense, should we expect any negative impact on profitability in 2021? The second question relates to working capital, in particular on inventories. I see that inventories are more or less stable year on year, in a year in which turnover declined in the double digits. So, can you explain again, I'm sorry if you already did it, why inventories remain at such a high level, and what should we expect going forward? Thank you.
Good evening, Nicola. Thanks for the questions. Very, how can I say, very update, because what we are living, it is something that we have never experienced since I think we started working. It's this trend of raw material is almost the same everywhere in the world, maybe slightly different in North America with a lower impact, but still important. We are at the beginning of this speculation momentum. We are not sure how long it will last, but considering the magnitude of the cost increase, especially in plastic, we have decided already, and not now, but 1 month and a half ago, we have already decided to pass a price increase. That is going, I would say, smoothly, because the market, the customers are now used to face problems on their own, on their direct import also. So there is nothing new in what we are asking to the customers. Let me anyway better analyze the situation of FILA. Plastic is an important component of our business, and plastic is one of the raw materials that is growing most. But our business is the most important business of FILA is pencils, and more or less at the same level paper, but very high-end paper. On pencils, the raw material cost increase is very limited, nothing to do with the amount of the growth of plastic. In paper, there is a cost increase, much lower than plastic. On plastic, we are experiencing an increase of 100%. Much lower than the cost increase we are seeing in plastic. And I have to add that our paper has it's a very high-end paper. So the impact on the finished cost is there, but is, let's say, on a single-digit impact. We are anyway passing a price increase also in paper. So for the moment, we are managing the situation, I would say, properly, in a way that we do not have to change the estimation we have given for 2021. For working capital, why the inventory is at that level? The answer is extremely simple. Let me go by priority of problems. In Mexico, we have produced 100% of the back to school 2020 because the government have guaranteed us to reopen school in June, then in July, then in August, then in September, and they have never reopened. We finished the year with minus 70% turnover. All the back to school of 2020 is sitting, maybe was sitting, because in Mexico, starting from March, we see some improvement, was or is sitting in our inventory. North America, but generally speaking, not only North America, but also in Europe, we started the problem in March. So in March, we were already producing for our back to school. And I think nobody in March could imagine that in September, almost 70% of the school would have restarted in digital and not in physical presence. So we have produced our historical mix of product, and in September we had two problems. An unbelievable amount of inefficiency in the logistic supply chain. As you probably know from other businesses, we have thousands and thousands of containers waiting for carriers. We have a mix of product that has completely changed during back to school because students were at home, so buying a different mix of product. And last but not least, many schools, just think about Italy, schools should have started the 16th of September. Then they postpone to the 24th. Then they postpone again because 24 you had the election. And then in some region, they shut down the schools. So in this situation, the good news is that all the inventory is fresh. We are going to see a strong improvement in 2021 from the level of inventory because we have just postponed the sales. The worst case scenario is that we are going to sell between May and June. I expect already an improvement in March, but for sure we are going to see an improvement by June, because fortunately our product has no problem of obsolescence, have no problem of licenses, have no problem of private label. We produce only for our brands, and it was impossible to manage a reasonable planning, a reasonable forecast, with countries that were opening, closing, opening, closing. So we have done, let's say, the best we could. Last but not least, if you analyze the performance of our listed competitors, you will probably have seen that the performance has been much worse than ours. And this is also due because we have decided anyway to try to please our customers having product in stock. As you know, we work with substantial high margins, so to lose sales, it's always a pity. The problem in 2020 is more related to product mix, which will completely return to normality as we expect, not only a regular back to school in September, but in this moment we see schools reopening gradually, and they are absorbing the extra stock we had.
Okay, thank you. Maybe two follow-ups on the two questions. The first one on price increase. I mean, I suppose that having such an increase in the raw material price, also the price increase should be big, assuming that plastics makes a big percentage of your cost of raw materials, which is my understanding. So if you can share with us to which extent you were able to increase prices. And the second follow-up is on again on working capital and on the reduction in receivables. Also in this case, if we had some particular one-off effect, factoring or whatever, which cannot be considered as normal in a way.
Let me answer, because it's easier, to the last question. We absolutely not one single effect. Stefano can elaborate better later, but I can anticipate to you that there is absolutely not a one-time effect, positive in this case. For price increase, what we are applying, not to disclose too many confidential information, what we are applying is a price increase that completely cover the cost increase that we are estimating as of now. As you probably imagine, we cannot implement a price increase every month. So what we are trying to do is to build up average cost between inventory, new cost, by the way, budgeted cost, because we already budgeted some cost increase, and we have implemented at the beginning of 2021, already a price increase. So now we are asking for a second price increase. If the situation will not get worse, I think we will stop here. If not, clearly we will need to revise the situation. As of now, our price increase are covering the cost increase that we are facing.
Related to the working capital, can confirm that the factoring level is near to the previous year, that we are around 35 million of factoring, so it's more or less the same as the previous year.
Thank you.
The next question comes from Alessandro Cecchini with Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. The first one, so we had a conference call a few weeks ago. I would like to have your view of what has changed in terms of environment since our last call. So just to recap main moving parts, and I remember that you provided a sort of indication for the first quarter to expect a sort of -10% year-on-year decline. I would like to understand if this kind of trend is confirmed. My second question is about actually Mexico net working capital. So basically, we know very well that for you, Mexico is a pain in terms of net working capital. I would like to better understand if you are executing some specific actions in order to improve the performance structurally in Mexico. My third question is about refinancing potentially your covenants for 2020-21. I would like to understand what it's happening, what are you thinking about this kind of your structure. And finally, when you talk about you stated before your target about for this year. Just if you could elaborate a little bit your best estimation for this year. Thank you.
Thanks, Alessandro. In respect to the environment, which was your first question, I don't recall exactly when we spoke, when we met. I think it was mid-February. I would comment two things, that in terms of environment, generally speaking, the environment has improved compared to the 12th of February, because the vaccination campaign is definitely working in countries that are extremely important for our business. In China, we see a strong recovery of the business. In the United States, in the last 15 days, we are gaining multiple percentage of students back to school. So, and this percentage is fast growing. We have New York reopening schools. In February, we could estimate this to happen. Now, this is happening. So this could be a little bit late for the first quarter, but reinforce our estimation. And here I'm going to touch question number four, reinforce the estimation we have for 2021, in which we already declared a double-digit growth in EBITDA and also in turnover. Coming back to the environment, the only, I cannot say negative, but the only country in this moment is a bit unstable is India, because we have seen a very good trend of school reopening until mid-March. The business was really ramping up, and now, unfortunately, we see the level of infection growing fast, but with a number of deaths that is close to zero. So the message I receive from India is that they are not very concerned of this new trend of infection. This is impacting a little bit the trend of reopening the schools. So maybe it is slowing down or postponing. In the same time, they are having a huge vaccination campaign going on, which anyway put us in a comfortable position for the back to school next August. All in all, compared to mid-February, I can say the first quarter is slightly better than what I was expecting, for the simple reason that Fine Art continue running strong, very fast, but school business is, as I said 3 minutes ago, is restarting. Some good signs from school is not weak as I thought, and Fine Art still continue running fast. For Mexico working capital, I think you have used a very appropriate word. It was a pain. I think in the best interest of F.I.L.A., I think we took a very difficult, but today a very positive decision. We said, okay, the country is in a horrible position. The business is very weak. We have decided to use COVID year to completely clean the tradition of pre-selling at the end of the year with a long-term payment and so on. In 2020, we have not pre-sold anything. We have completely cleaned the long-term attitude of customers to receive product much in advance. In fact, in this moment, we see the market almost empty, the distribution almost empty, and we have reestablished normal terms of payment like in every other countries in the world, which means that we will start delivering product between March and June, of course, this depending on the schools, and all the receivable will be paid before the end of the year, in other words, between October and November. Mexico is a very profitable country for us. We started this, I don't know what is the right definition, but there was a law many years ago that gave a fiscal incentive to the customer to increase inventory at the end of the year. It has started a process that you never know where it start the interest of the customer and when start the interest of the company. There was this attitude to fulfill customer before December, thus with the working capital exploding at the end of the year. This has been completely, and I underline completely, cleaned in 2020. In fact, if you see our performance in Mexico, we did -70%. We took the opportunity to completely clean the channel, and we have reestablished terms of payment like we have in every other country in the world. Mexico will not be anymore a pain. Last question is covenant. I prefer Stefano to answer.
Thanks, Massimo and Alessandro. As you know, we have a back-end loaded repayment plan, so I confirm that it's not in our mind to do any refinancing because we have all the liquidity also for the future years. What we have in mind is just maybe to sit with the bank and to understand for sure if we can have the same benefit of some covenant holiday also for 2021, but just to put the company in a safe position to avoid some external effect that we can have during the year. I confirm that anyway, at the moment, all the projections confirm that we are in respect of covenant 21 for June and for December. It's just to put the company in a safe position to be focused on the business and to avoid any external contingency. At the moment, maybe we can sit with the bank just to study some alternative, more efficient source of financing for the future, or maybe to extend the duration of the loan of a couple of years. We are not in the moment in the urgency to do this because we don't have for the next year, for 2022 and 2023, any problem of repayment of the debt.
Okay, thank you. So basically, what you are saying that this kind of 20 million, 21 million of cash financial expenses decreasing versus last year 24, so it's something that is at least in the short term sustainable, this kind of improvement that you had in 2020.
You are talking about the net financial, the net interest.
Yes, cash.
Is due to the improvement, is due to the margin ratchet improvement, as I explained at the beginning, and the other part is to the efficiency that we reach in the net working capital management. Of course, we were able to manage, especially we work on Mexico, Mexico, Brazil, and Russia, where the interest rates are very low, and we do some, we did some intercompany loan just to decrease this interest cost. So it's a double effect, and of course we think that we can keep also the saving, the working capital, also for next year. My estimation is that if you know that if you want to work with a conservative approach, that is also realistic, you know that next year we will reimburse more or less 30 million, 27.4 million of euros. So you know more or less our cost of the debt, and so the savings around 1 million, more or less, 1 million something else.
Okay, thank you.
Next question comes from Isacco Brambilla with Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening, everybody. Thanks for taking my questions. I have three. The first one is on your organic trends in North America and Europe. If my math is correct, you recorded a sort of improvement in organic performance in the final quarter of the year. So just if you can elaborate a little bit more on that, how much of this improvement you see as structural even for 2021, especially in Europe and in North America. The second question is on, let's say, your margin outlook. You have been mentioning at least a couple of positive drivers for 2021. I would say efficiencies on costs and also a better mix, but on the flip side, a couple of negative elements, so weaker volumes because some months will still be impacted by COVID, and also raw material percentage. If we compare the EBITDA margin you are foreseeing for 2021 to a pre-pandemic level, how we should model out our expectations for this year. And the last question is actually more a kind of a confirmation in your notice for the call of the general shareholder meeting. There was a mention of a potential option to carry out, to have the possibility to carry out a 10% capital increase, let's say, in the next 5 years, so a very long-term option. Is it correct to see this as a sort of additional lever for FILA Board of Directors to potentially carry out M&A without impacting the leveraging process in the coming years? Thanks.
Thanks. Let me say, I'm not 100% sure we have completely understood the question, so in case, please correct us if the answer is not accurate. Let me start from point number three, which is the most simple. The answer is absolutely yes. We have had very limited communication and information flow from the market during COVID, but now information are start to come already available, and COVID has been disruptive, especially with certain competitors. And I think FILA has come out from 2020 further reinforced. We clearly have in mind that we ended with a 3.92 leverage, so we have not so much
flexibility, but for sure we have a position of a very strong leader, especially in fine art, and in the COVID year we have shown three things: cash generation, a very good profitability despite we have lost two countries that represent, by the way, 22% of our turnover. Third, we have invested in the last 3 years in a very profitable business, which is fine art. So we have decided that the situation is extremely unstable around the world, and we want to be ready to take opportunity in case these opportunities will come on the table sooner than later. Concerning question number one, you asking about organic growth in Europe and North America for education and fine art, is this the question?
Yes, yeah, so both segments, if you look at the regions overall.
Yeah, you say the organic growth expected in 2021?
I see in the final quarter of 2020 there was a sort of a slight acceleration versus the 9 months, just understand how much of this should be seen as sustainable even for 2021.
Of course, we are talking of a forecast, and I think the question number four of Mr. Cecchini that was talking about the expectation 2021, I partially answered. So I already said that I am surprised by the trend of sales, especially of fine art, in the first quarter. So the good news for us is that the world, even with vaccination, tends to, at least this is my feeling, tend to show much longer time to completely recover the situation pre-COVID. I'm referring to tourism, travel, business travel, and so on. This is a typical environment situation that push further the sales of fine art, because simply you stay at home longer. We have seen an organic growth in fine art before COVID every year in the range of 3-4%. With COVID, we have seen an acceleration. I cannot imagine this acceleration can last forever, because sometimes it's unbelievable the numbers that we are seeing and that we continue to see for the moment. Probably this trend will be strong until the world will be back to a normal situation, which maybe will happen in a couple of years. Fine art is definitely a business to be. I receive so many manifestations of interest for our business from everywhere in the world. It's a healthy business with very good margins, with very strong brands, and in very few years we have become an undisputed leader. So definitely we are in a very nice position. For school, the situation from my point of view is anyway positive. We can see again, if you analyze that school has been heavily impacted by Mexico and India, the rest of the world, school has been a reasonably good business. We have suffered, if you recall, in Italy, March, April, early May, shops completely closed. You probably recall modern trade with strikes that were indicating you cannot buy stationary product for many, many weeks. So despite that, the business has been good. The market, in order to limit probably their financial exposure, the distribution is really empty. So there could be a positive effect. Of course, if you consider that India is our market number two and Mexico is our market number four, to imagine a good trend of school, we absolutely need these two countries to restart their normal operational situation. Anyway, India and Mexico will open school in September, so we have ahead of us a reasonable good year. Even in the United States, in these days, since President Biden has announced that schools are a priority, that the vaccination campaign is doing okay, they have vaccinated the teachers, schools are gradually reopening, and we see on a weekly basis an improvement of education business. This is already going on. Concerning the question number two, I think it is EBITDA pre-COVID, when we will reach EBITDA pre-COVID, correct?
Yes, just if you're comfortable in sharing, of course, your internal budget.
Budget in two, prevede già. Well, we think that already 21 will show a good result from this point, if not an improvement. And the reason is very simple. I wanted to help your memory, because I can imagine how many companies you have to analyze. But 2019 was not our best year in terms of performance. We suffered a lot of fines. Until April 2019, we had a poor level of logistic performance. We launched the central warehouse in Europe. So 2019 was not a target for us, was the beginning of the recovery from the reorganization that occurred in 17 and 18. Then unfortunately we fall in COVID in 2020. So for us 2019 is a starting point, is not a target. We hope now we have Fine Art working properly. All our supply chain around the world is efficient, including the central warehouse. So we think that already in 2021 we will reach, in terms of percentage, the profitability we had in 2019. And of course, the more we grow Fine Art business, the more you will see this percentage to improve in the next 2-3 years.
Okay, very clear. Many thanks for your answers.
Next question comes from François Robillard with Intermonte. Please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. Good evening. Thank you for taking my question. Just a quick one on my side. You invested 10 million euros capex in 2020. It's about half what was done in 2019. What can we expect in 2021?
Let Stefano look at his... Yes, of course, we will recover the level of CapEx, not in 21. We will have an increase. You remember that our normal level before COVID was 20 million, so we will be in the middle between 2020 and 19, so between 20 million and 10 million, so in the middle. So it will be a gradual recovery in order then next year to stay in a stable level of CapEx.
In other words, the estimation is around 15 million, but we are still keeping on hold because we want to see how vaccination and how school reopening is going to happen. So the more we go towards May and June, the more we are going to free the investment.
Let's say, just to conclude, that our normal level that we recover, not in 21, as Massimo said, but in the next year is around 20% of CapEx, so the EBITDA, 20% of EBITDA will be the normal level of CapEx.
Thank you very much.
There are no more questions at the moment.
So let me thank everyone, and I think we'll have several opportunities to meet in the next few days. Thanks a lot.